At the age of 17, I was converted. Looking back from the perspectives of 40 years onwards, it's not easy to assess the full significance of what happened. Yet I can still recall the intensity of emotions which accompanied that turning to Christ. And clearly, two important things did happen. They were important in terms of the spiritual pathway that I was then to follow and the direction it was eventually to take. Two processes, eventually to become uncomfortable bedfellows and then incompatible, were dramatically and simultaneously brought to birth. The first of these processes was a commitment to a new and unfolding world of spiritual values. This was a world full of beckoning promise and potential. The second was the experience of being catapulted into the powerful and encapsulating world of religious dogma. I was entering a thought structure consisting of absolute certainties concerning the nature of God, humanity, and the universe. The second process was soon to require a continuous readjustment of thinking to ensure submission to this world of absolutes. And for many years, the second process was to control and direct the course of the first. The result was the systematic shaping of an inquiring mind into an unquestioning conformity. It was years later that I was to discover for myself the essential difference between the two processes and to allow the first that freedom which is of the very substance of true spiritual awakening. What is the nature of this awakening, and how is it authenticated in the lives of individuals and within Western society today? In attempting to answer the first part of this question, we are confronted immediately with difficulty. Spiritual awakening is response to the action of a dynamic, the divine dynamic operating within the human psyche and in human affairs. And a dynamic, by its very nature, defies and eludes definition. To attempt to seal its meaning within a dogmatic formula is therefore a contradiction in terms. It is capable of a multitude of expressions, and its modes of operation are beyond calculation. It cannot be trapped or held within any one category of manifestation. To attempt to do so is, in effect, to obscure those realities towards which it points and to which it gives authentic expression. It is to impose limits on the limitless. This dynamic cannot be determined or judged by any static form of identification, any more than the sun can be equated with any one of its myriad rays. It is authenticated only by itself, for it is the truth which, says Jesus, shall set you free. Like the nature of truth, it is primarily concerned not with intellectual concepts, but with the reality of a situation, every situation. Therefore, it may be recognized within infinite diversity and behind any one of a thousand forms. The dynamic may be seen as the spearhead of a struggle between human egocentricity and divisiveness on the one hand, and the divine principle which creates wholeness on the other. Spirituality eludes not only definition, but also the natural processes of comprehension. It cannot be grasped by the intellect alone, for linear thinking can never comprehend the spiritual. Access to the world of spiritual reality is only by the way of contradiction and paradox. To quote the Apostle Paul, the natural man does not understand the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Such discernment comes through the operation of penetrative or intuitive thought, and this emerges from the point where apparent opposites come together. The intellectual processes, having reached an impasse, allow themselves to become stilled. This produces a powerful focusing of perception. The mind, like the unruffled surface of a clear pool, then reflects reality. This enables a breakthrough to another level of understanding. So does spiritual discernment come to birth. Such discernment constitutes an immediate recognition of the validity of paradox and the significance of apparent opposites. For it knows that although those human faculties, operating in time and space, can never of themselves perceive the spiritual, yet it also acknowledges that it is through these very faculties that the dynamic is ever being channeled into human affairs. Proceeding from beyond time and space, it is ever working within these dimensions to illuminate and reconcile. Never still, this most powerful of all movements makes its presence known within human consciousness, and human beings are the prisms through which its million facets are focused on the planet. Whilst capable of speaking with a multitude of voices, a single word may give it perfect utterance, and it is heard best of all in the silence of the heart. Ever changing, yet is it constant in its relation to that ultimate reality we call God. All this was perfectly illustrated by Jesus Christ in his words to the seeker Nicodemus. "Those who are born of the Spirit," he declared, "are like the wind. No one knows from whence it comes and where it goes, for it blows where it will." The essence of spiritual awakening may be summed up as follows. It is the space to see, to be, to move, and quickly to outgrow those limitations which the pattern of our living has imposed upon us. Such an understanding makes it clear that what we have indicated as the dynamic of the spiritual can never be identified with creedal statements, however perfectly expressed. Nor can it be contained within a catechism, however excellent its precepts. Yet is it equally true that both creed and catechism, in particular situations and places, will give it perfect articulation. For between movement and static form, there need be no contradiction. They are different levels of operation. I have described the two functions as those of dynamic and cult in the book Spiritual Man in a New Age. To give priority to the former is clearly to recognize the difference between the life giver and that to which it gives birth. The two are not in conflict, provided this clear distinction is made. When their proper relationship is established, and the function of each correctly understood, then both form and dynamic are seen to be part of one harmonious whole. But this can become apparent only when those perceptions which I have described are applied. The dynamic of the spiritual may never be judged by creedal form, for this would be to exalt the mirror above that reality which it reflects. And it is the primary function of the form to provide mirror images which perfectly confirm the movement and the significance of the dynamic. This may be seen operating par excellence in those great historical mirror images provided by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To this we shall return later. Where then is the point of beginning for conscious awakening to this spiritual dimension. All of us must begin from exactly where we are and from within the context of our present understanding, whatever that may be. Beliefs as such play no necessary part in such a beginning. All that is necessary for movement in the direction of the dynamic is a readiness to respond to the beckoning of the highest that we know. It may be that we shall quickly find that the highest is becoming inadequate. No matter, for it will take us beyond itself to ever-widening vistas waiting to unfold within our consciousness. And as we respond, there is nothing in past or present experience that cannot be taken up into meaning and purpose. As I look back along the path of my own spiritual pilgrimage, I have no regrets, for I do not doubt that, as with every life, the particular conditions which applied to my own, painful as they may have been at various stages, were exactly what was required for a progressive opening to the dynamic as it touched my life. The varied and often contradictory elements to which I was exposed, many of which had nothing to do with conscious choice, but were a combination of the accidents of birth and an overshadowing divine providence, provided all the necessary impulses to take me in the direction of true fulfillment. Is a conscious faith in God an essential prerequisite for the beginning of such unfolding? To this the answer must be no. If the desire for change, growth, fulfillment, whatever we may choose to call it, is there, then this is a clear indication that there is already an awakening from within, and what we call God is undoubtedly the initiator of the process. The word God represents that reality which, as we have already seen, may emerge under many names or none. Recognition of the reality may well lead to an expression of belief in God, but it is important to be clear that this plays no necessary part in spiritual awakening. Indeed, there are concepts of God which may inhibit or hinder the development of what is in fact a God-centered evolution of life from within, an aligning of the will with the dynamic. Movement with integrity contains the essence of belief, and reaching towards the highest that we know constitutes the movement of faith. Names and titles, theological or otherwise, are only of secondary significance. The authentic face of God is love. It was this which drew seekers after the dynamic so powerfully to Jesus of Nazareth. And their experience of his undifferentiating self-giving led them to say, "We have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Many of us have inherited, sometimes quite unconsciously, images of a God who is out there and apart from the whole of creation. Yet the primary manifestation of divinity as divine love is in and through creation. This is beautifully expressed in the words of what is sometimes called the prologue to St. John's Gospel. Here the whole universe is seen to be the outward vesture of a veiled but revealed divinity, or what has been called within the Christian tradition the cosmic Christ. It is an awakening of this which is so characteristic of the spiritual awakening taking place within Western society today. To understand this development, we need to look briefly at what has happened to bring this about. In the early 50s, Western civilization entered a period of change, the speed of which has not been paralleled at any previous stage of recorded history. almost everything that had by previous generations been accepted as necessary for the good order and stability of society came to be questioned, and in many instances rejected by the younger generation. A process of demolition of what was seen as hypocritical conventions and outmoded standards began and continued over a period of more than 20 years. The old hierarchical structures, both religious and secular, which had determined the behaviour patterns of the majority of people for generations, lost much of their influence, and in some instances collapsed. Everything was subjected to questioning. Nothing, however previously sacrosanct, was any longer beyond criticism. Many of the external restraints imposed by convention, the law and religion, in the name of morality and ethics, were rejected. Varied interpretations have been given of this period of sometimes violent change. The Romantics saw the prospects of immediate entry into a new age. The evolutionists detected a breakthrough into the next stage of mind. And as at the end of the first Christian millennium, the apocalyptics saw the imminent return of Christ and the approaching end of the world. Viewed from the late 80s, this was clearly the time of a great transition. In varying degrees, each interpretation contains elements of a valid perception. But as with concepts of God, these are of no primary significance in relating powerfully and positively to the changes. What is clear is that all this has been part of a necessary breaking free from those scientific, philosophical, and theological assumptions of the past, which are no longer adequate vehicles for the expression and transmission of what is happening. The maelstrom of visible change has in many areas now subsided. And as we approach the end of the century, there are indications within society of frantic attempts to rebuild the contours of a rapidly disappearing world. The absence of the old sources of authority and the constant threat of nuclear holocaust are producing an unrelenting pressure upon human consciousness. And in the context of this, we are faced with the choice of trying to re-establish the old or to move forward into a world of new realities. What then are the signs of hope for the future? Beneath the diversity of interpretations and the sometimes chaotic residue of past patterns of thought and behaviour, creative new impulses are emerging. And these are refusing to operate within the confines of those separate ideological compartments which have for so long divided the human race. The old structures of thought provided by religion, philosophy and science cease to have meaning for those human beings who are striving to align themselves with these new impulses. In the words of Jesus Christ, the old skins cannot contain the new wine. A new and universal human self-awareness is struggling to be born. And a distinctive characteristic of this awareness is a realization of a unity which, existing already at a deep level, is now seeking to manifest at all levels of society. This deep urge towards unity permeates every aspect of human endeavor. That attempt to realize it at the level of politics, economics, and religion founder repeatedly on the still powerful rocks of a divisive egocentricity checks but does not halt the movement. For this is more than a vague outreach towards the unknown and the unattainable. It is the authentic expression of a welling up from within the human psyche, the release of a new creative energy. It is the very dynamic which is at the heart of all true spiritual awakening. The search and the yearning have many facets, yet all are part of a convergence, the significance of which has yet to be fully realized. But the time is now ripe to give meaning, purpose, and a sense of direction to what is happening. And this can be done only by those who are prepared to go the way of conscious cooperation. Central to what is taking place is a growing recognition of an essential link between the human race, all sentient beings, and the planet itself. The interdependence of all life is now beyond question. The recognition of this ranges from the ecologically concerned to the mystically aware. Indeed, these two frequently appear as complementary aspects or facets of a single perception. And this is that all physical manifestations of life relate to a planetary significance which goes far beyond the physical. The eruption of this into universal consciousness is of tremendous significance, for it signifies the disappearance of the old distinction between the material and the spiritual, the old dichotomy between the two, so long reinforced by both science and religion, is no longer tenable. Later, we shall examine some of the developments within modern scientific thinking. I referred earlier to the mirror images provided by the events of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. For those with eyes to see and ears to hear, what is now happening is reflected in the historical image presented by the incarnation of Christ. There is mirrored the essential unity of the heavenly and the earthly, a perfect reflection of unity and a confirmation of what is now breaking into universal consciousness. For what is now happening is a cosmic reenactment of the birth of the child in Bethlehem. It is the Christ who is struggling to come to birth within the heart of all creation.